Scripture reading for today is taken from Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 28. I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. As Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was revolted at the sight of the city given over to idols. So he debated in the Jewish synagogue with both the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks who worshiped there, and every day spoke in the marketplace to whomever came along. Even some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers argued with him. Some said, "What is this chatterbox trying to say?" Others said, "He seemed to be a promoter of foreign gods because he was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection." They invited Paul to accompany them to the council of the Areopagus. I believe I got that. And said, "Let us learn of this new teaching you describe. You bring some strange notions to our ears, and we would like to know the meaning of all this." The Athenians and the foreigners living there loved talking about and listening to the latest ideas whenever they could. Then Paul stood up before the council of the Areopagus and delivered this address: "Citizens of Athens, I note that in every respect you are scrupulously religious. As I walk about looking at your shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown god. Now, what you are worshiping is ignorance I intend to make known to you. For the God who made the world and all that is in it, the sovereign of heaven and earth, doesn't live in sanctuaries made by human hands and isn't served by humans as if in need of anything. No, God is the one who gives everyone life, breath, everything. From one person, God created all humankind to inhabit the entire earth and set the time for each nation to exist, an exact place where each nation would dwell. God did this so that human beings would seek, reach out for, and perhaps find the one who is not really far from any of us, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. As one of your poets has put it, we are all God's children." That ends today's reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you for your presence here with us today. We ask that you would bless the words that I speak, that we might all hear a word that we need to hear. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's scripture reading finds the Apostle Paul pretty much of a tourist in Athens. Athens hadn't really been on his itinerary. No, it was more or less of a detour for him while he waited for his colleagues, Silas and Timothy, to join him. They'd had to send Paul away after he so angered a group of Thessalonian Jews that they followed him to his next destination and stirred up trouble. So here he was in Athens on his own with a bit of time to spare, time to take in the sights. He had no intention of engaging in any kind of ministry or evangelism. He wouldn't be there long enough to plant a church or anything. But then he noticed the shrines and their idols, idols everywhere, and not just one god, hundreds of them. According to author and pastor Don Richardson, Athens was the god capital of the world, a place so full of gods that the Athenians must have needed something like the Yellow Pages just to keep track of all of them. Nevertheless, one particular altar jumped out at Paul and gave him pause. On it was inscribed, "To an unknown god." You see, despite the sheer volume of gods represented in their city, the Athenians were still afraid that they might have left someone out and offended that god, as they believed had happened in the 6th century BC when a mysterious plague had hit the city. And not until these altars for the unknown gods were erected did the plague subside. Taking in the sight, Paul was apparently able to set aside his revulsion long enough to assess the Athenian situation at a much deeper level. As theologically promiscuous as it may have felt to him to encounter hundreds of false gods in one place, it was actually a sign of something more. These people cared. They were seeking and reaching out for something bigger than themselves. Boy, were they ever. Somehow they just hadn't managed yet to find the one true God, the unknown God. And with that realization, Paul simply had to speak up. In the synagogue, in the marketplace, with Jews and with Gentiles, with clerics and with philosophers and politicians, he met them whomever and wherever they were. And he spoke to them in their own language, quoting universal wisdom from their poets, their own Greek poetry, which happened to dovetail quite nicely with his own Christian message. He was able to acknowledge honestly, if a tad facetiously, their extreme religiosity. He was able to show respect for their culture without necessarily embracing it himself. Now, this was a bit of an epiphany for Paul, as was Jesus' experience with the Canaanite woman, which we discussed a few weeks ago. Up until this encounter, Paul's ministry had been directed primarily at fellow Jews. From this point on, it would expand to encompass Gentiles as well. As it turned out, these people absolutely loved hearing and talking about the latest ideas wherever and whenever they could. They experienced Paul's Christian perspective as novel and intriguing, and so they invited him to speak with them at greater length. They listened intently and dialogued with him, yet Paul, he didn't receive many converts that day. His ideas struck the majority as distasteful and overly demanding. Bodily resurrection had zero appeal for people who couldn't wait to lose their physical bodies and move into a strictly spiritual realm when they died. Concepts of judgment and sacrifice did not square with hedonist philosophers' pursuit of contentment through absolute avoidance of pain, anxiety, and anything at all the least bit unpleasant. Thanks, but no thanks, Paul. They would not be constructing an altar for this God. Nevertheless, some did join Paul and become believers that day. While we may not be in total agreement with Paul theologically, his encounter with the Athenians does provide a rough model for our own outreach as individuals and a church. First, Paul recognized that the people's obsession with idols and the latest ideas was a sign of something more, providing both a distraction and a mask to disguise the extreme spiritual hunger that lay just beneath the surface. Paul not only saw this clearly, but he had compassion for the people and where they were on their journeys. Today, we have our own religious seekers and secular philosophers. As Paul experienced, some are most interested in the pursuit itself. They prefer the endless search for an unknown God or for truth with a capital T, and will be unwilling to settle into a particular faith tradition or church for very long. But some will. Some will understand that God is not tucked away within some as yet undiscovered mysterious practice. God is not keeping or keeping God's whereabouts a deep, dark secret to be revealed only to a select few. God is, in fact, right here, in and between, above and below, and all around us, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Several will be relieved to hear and to begin to comprehend this. A few will feel like they have finally come home to themselves and to God. A few more will be delighted to learn that God is still speaking and that the search does not by definition have to end when they join this church or any UCC church. These are some of the people we need to invite to be with us here on Sunday mornings. Well, where are they, you might ask? We've hung our UCC banner boldly proclaiming that we don't reject anyone. We've carefully laid out our extravagant welcome mat. They'll see, they'll find us. or they already know who we are. Doesn't everyone in Wexford County know us by our reputation? They'd already be here if they really wanted to be here. I have noted with much interest how many of your friends and friends of your friends have recently stepped through our doorway for events other than worship and remarked that they had no idea how many people they already knew in this congregation, not only knew but liked and respected. No idea. What does this mean? Apparently, we're not talking about our church enough outside of this building. And not only to strangers, but to our own acquaintances. We may not want to impose on anyone. We may not completely grasp all we have to offer in this little community of faith. Or we may want to leave it a well-kept secret just for ourselves to know and enjoy. But there are people out there, as in Athens, who, whether they realize it or not, are hungry. Hungry for a place in which to connect with God and community in a meaningful way. And if you don't think we're doing that here, I would ask you to ponder the profound ways in which we came together to support Candy Lakin and her family and to walk with her in her living and her dying. I don't think I've ever experienced anything so joyful, loving, and spirit-filled as the serenade so many of us participated in at her home a few weeks ago. And I don't know that I've ever been so moved as when this time last month she made a point, as weak as she was, to join us here for one last communion celebration. Who wouldn't want to be part of a community like that? Well, where did Paul find his converts? Out and about, in the marketplace and on Mars Hill, speaking their language and taking an interest in their culture. Paul's methods were very much in keeping with the advice that many church vitality experts give these days. Leave the building, go where the people are. Hold your meetings in public, in restaurants and parks, and even in bars. Get people curious about who you are and what you're doing. Get to know the popular culture. Interact with people in their own environments and on their own terms. Find some common ground on which to build a conversation. Now, before I lose you in that scary, distasteful world of evangelism, I would like to share something from the recent Board of Trustees retreat. After drawing our no-holds-barred dreams for this church with our non-dominant hands, then sharing and talking them through, a common theme emerged. Board members were eager to do mission work locally. Whether that meant inviting the community in for a free monthly meal, or taking Sunday school kids to do pet therapy with seniors, mostly people wanted to get outside the building and into the community, to serve God in the Mars Hills and the marketplaces of Cadillac, where their actions could speak as loud, if not louder, than their words. Which brings me to another thing some of the church vitality experts are saying, and that is that a church's health and vitality are not strictly a numbers game. In some cases, vitality might not be about membership or attendance numbers at all. To these experts, it's more about the depth of relationship that churchgoers experience with God and with one another. It's more about people's levels of loyalty and commitment to their church family and its mission. It's more about the energy and activity generated around giving back to the aid of people in need of some of the most basic things, like food and shelter and justice. It's about being the hands and the feet and the mouths of Christ in the world. As a congregation, I do believe we demonstrate each of these traits in our own unique way. But I also believe there's always more work to be done. We need look no further than Paul and his tireless travels to realize that there's always something more. While our goal may not be to save souls in the manner of Paul or some of our evangelical sisters and brothers in Christ, we don't want anyone to have to travel through this life with God as a complete unknown, or perhaps worse yet, as an angry, hateful tyrant. If we can be willing, adaptable, constant vessels of God's love and grace and compassion with our family and friends and in our travels with acquaintances and strangers, then we will have nailed it. And so I pray that we may live more fully, ever more fully, into our identity as the Church of the Extravagant Welcome. The church that not only doesn't reject anyone, but meets and embraces in everyone in Christian love, right here, right where they are. May it be so. Amen.